You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on Monday afternoon. I am your host, Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Busy day today in studio. I have Go AZ Cats editor Matt Moreno for the hour. And then at the 6 o'clock hour, I'm going to have former KVOA sports anchor Ari Alexander. He's in Houston now. I'm going to ask him how much he misses Tucson from being gone for, I guess, maybe 2 months now. So I'll joke around with him for about 20 minutes and see what's going on with him. But today, in the first hour, I'm glad to have my boy Matt Moreno. We're going to talk about the football game that's happening here in about 4 days? 5 days. 5 days. 5 days from now.
5 days, yeah.
Yeah. Almost 5 days to the hour here pretty soon. Yeah. So you already got your trip booked to Hawaii?
Yeah, I'm leaving. No, I'm just kidding.
Leaving on a jet plane?
Private jet on a Saturday.
Private, nice. You are. I knew you were making money. You hit the lottery.
No, I'll be enjoying Hawaii. I'll maybe, like we said, we'll bring some sand or something, and
yes,
some little umbrella drinks
and a seashell.
And on my couch, I'll be sitting on the couch and enjoying it.
What's that? It's the sound of the sea. Well, it's funny because I've covered 5 Maui Invitationals in my career. I went to the beach maybe once because it was so busy going to games and so busy chasing down stories that you don't get a chance to actually enjoy the actual scenery.
That was my biggest reason for not going, is just I don't want to go and have to do work and I know the way it works out, I'd be doing stuff the entire time. So
it wouldn't be
as enjoyable as just going for a vacation.
See, even the trip affects the sports writers.
Yeah.
It's not always it's not a business trip. Yeah, my butt.
No.
It's not a butt. No, because you rarely get to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it was somebody else's dime, guess what you're doing? You're gone.
I'm going.
You're going. Yes. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, to kind of get to see what they're all about. Has your philosophy changed on the team? And your philosophy and my philosophy is pretty much the same. They are who they are compared to – has that changed at all?
Not really. I mean, I still think there's parts that look better, and I said this a few weeks ago. It feels like a more talented team across the board, but – it's so unproven that we won't know until, you know, they kick things off on Saturday night and we get to actually see what they're doing to understand, okay, is this, we think this talent is going to translate from the practice field to the game field, because we've seen teams that we go, okay, this team looks like it's going to be pretty good. It just doesn't work out that way. I think famously is probably Freddie Tagaloa. Yeah. We all saw him, you know, going up against Arizona's own defensive line. We go, man, this guy's a monster. He's going to, you know, destroy everybody. And then it just never worked out. So there's just different things like that come into play. Guys, you know, look good against, you know, Arizona. Arizona looks good against Arizona, but then they get up against a different team.
They would end up 5-5 or 6-6.
I mean, to me, it's one of those things where I'm still saying, prove it to me, and then I'll start believing. But I don't see a huge kind of change really in any specific group.
Don't blame you. If you saw the game and if you saw a group, receivers, running backs, quarterback, whatever, defensive backs, whatever, what would you be disappointed in if they didn't play well?
The running backs. I mean, to me, that's the easiest group. You say that's where the talent is on this team. You know, you have J.J. Taylor, and to me, it's even, you know, like 1-5. They have quite a bit of talent where you have...
Give me the 5. J.J. Taylor, 1.
Gary Brightwell's 2. Number 2. I have the depth chart just came out today, which is great for us. But they have Darius Smith, so Bam Smith, 3, or Nathan Tilford, or Michael Wiley. So
do you think that we'll ever see Tilford?
I think so. I think this is his best shot. There's going to be a point soon where he kind of gets passed up by some younger guys. Even this year, Michael Wiley is someone who wasn't really going to be expected to step in right away and contribute right away, but he's making the trip. I mean, he's going to make the trip to Hawaii, and he's going to, you know, get a chance to play.
What do you think the issue is with Tilford?
It's difficult to tell. I was going to ask you,
do you know and can't say, or you just don't know?
No, I think it's just, you know, it's understanding the position. I think, you know, when people looked at him when he was getting recruited, we've talked about this before, I think, on the show, where some of these 4-star guys and high-level guys that Arizona gets, they tend lately to get them for a reason, whether it's academics and people just saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get, if other schools saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them in. They eventually qualify and Arizona gets them, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate. Or other schools wanted him at different positions. A lot of teams wanted Nathan Tilford at linebacker. And you look at him and you go, he looks like he could be a pretty good linebacker.
And, he could be a pretty good anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing is a lot of teams will recruit him just as a pure athlete, and we'll find a spot for him. And Arizona said, hey, we'll let you play running back. He wanted to play running back, and that's kind of how it worked out, and was able to stay a little bit closer to home. And because Nebraska was really, you know, on him hard, and there was, for a while there, everyone thought he was going to, you know, go to Nebraska. He was committed to USC at one point, very quietly. But all those teams kind of want him at linebacker. They didn't want him at running back. So it's taken him some time to kind of learn the position. I think when you kind of read between the lines from what Rich Rodriguez used to say, what Kevin Sumlin says, it's kind of a similar storyline where it's just kind of between the ears, where it's just understanding the offense, understanding his responsibilities, and trust is so huge with coaches. And even if you're not as talented, maybe he's the most talented back. Maybe he's, you know, pure talent, he's better than J.J. Taylor. But if you don't know where you're supposed to be and you're, you know, prone to making mistakes, it's not, you're not going to get on the field. And that's kind of what it feels like has happened with Nathan Tilford.
And it's funny because you think as a running back, what's your job?
Run the ball.
And it's not that simple.
No, you got to, you know, there's pass protection. I think that's a huge part of what, what, how you earn Kevin Sumlin's trust is, hey, you need to protect our quarterback and you need to make sure that he's not getting touched. And that's part of your responsibility as well. And it's not just running the ball. And then he had some fumbling issues early on when he did get moments to kind of get in games. And that's, you know, that's always going to set you back when you're, unless you're J.J. Taylor, where you know what he, what else he does well, that you can live with, you know, J.J. Taylor's fumbling issues, but you can't necessarily live with Nathan Tilford's issues if he's going to have those.
So you sat through Sumlin today, about 20 minutes, you said, nothing earth-shattering.
Not really. I think the thing that stood out to me the most, kind of looking back, he was asked about, you know, what's different from a year ago? How are you maybe anticipating the season differently? And he seemed a little bit, it's hard on, you know, days like this, it's the first press conference where it's hard for a coach to not be so positive. They haven't played a game yet. They haven't lost anybody. They haven't faced any adversity. But it felt more sincere, I think, this year in terms of his excitement about the season and anticipation for the season. I think there is some nervousness there that I think kind of showed through today.
Really? In what sense?
I think he's still unsure. Similar to kind of how we talk about, you know, we don't know if they're unproven. I mean, I think he still has some concerns about, hey, these, some of these guys, we think they're good, but we don't know yet.
Did he say that? Kind of without saying it?
Yeah, kind of without saying it.
So, you know, I haven't been around him as much as you guys have this year specifically. And I don't have a read on him because he doesn't talk about the quarterback situation after games, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But he, and not to say that Rich Rod was a dishonest guy or an honest guy, is something an honest guy? And I didn't mean honest in the bare sense of the word. I mean it like, you know, if you ask him, you know, how good the team is, he's not going to say, or how bad the team is.
No.
But he gives you good information.
Sometimes.
Do you understand my question?
Yeah.
I don't even understand my question. But you understand what I'm saying, where he's going to be direct with you and say, okay, this
It all depends on what you're asking him about. If you're asking him general kind of things, he's not going to tell you. It's just the way he is. If you ask him specifics,
I get that.
If you ask him specifics, he's going to give you what I feel like has always been a pretty honest answer. If you ask him about certain players or certain situations, someone asked him about, you know, the 2-point conversion last year against ASU, and he answered it, and he took the blame and said, yeah, I would have done it differently. And to me, that's an honest answer. I mean, you're not lying about saying, hey, I would have done it differently. So I think if you ask him about specific situations, specific moments in a game, specific players, you're going to get, you know, those honest answers. And it's when you talk in kind of the generalities that he's kind of, he'll give you the coach speak that you can kind of get with him. He kind of laughs or chuckles or smiles a little bit when he's going to give you the answer. It's not that he knows you don't want to hear, but he's going to give it anyway. And he kind of did that today and said, you know, I sound like a broken record, and then said, you know, what we all kind of knew was coming. So
what did he say?
I don't remember what question was
about. We're going to listen to a portion of it just because, you know, you don't want to listen to me all this time. But I think so. He's very candid in a boring kind of way, isn't he? Because he's not. Rich Rod was. I don't know what Rich Rod is now. I can't even remember. Who's Rich Rod? I know I just didn't like him after losses. You know, he was there for 2 minutes and he would just say, but Rich Rod was pretty, he was cranky a lot.
Yeah.
Even after practice. Someone's not cranky much.
No. And that's why there was, you know, a moment in camp where during the open period he got that way.
Did he?
Yeah. And it was
with,
kind of.
With them?
It was kind of surprising to see it because when he walked in, he kind of said hello to everybody as he was walking into the practice facility, and he didn't seem like he was in a particularly bad mood or anything like that. But once they got out on the field, it was a little bit different, and maybe that was calculated. It felt that way a little bit to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because when Rich Rodriguez was not happy, he was not happy to everybody. I mean, to us, to whoever, it didn't matter. But with Kevin Sumlin, he kind of said hello to everybody. It seemed like a normal day, and then you get into practice, and he was kind of letting loose a little bit on the players. And I think it felt maybe like one of those moments in camp where you say, hey, I need to get these guys going a little bit more. I'm going to be, you know, angry Kevin Sumlin today. But it's very, very, very rare when you see him, you know, being super vocal or even yelling or anything like that.
Right. No, which is a good thing because we were kind of tired of Rich Rod doing that all the time. Not most of the time.
It all depends. I mean, it can swing one way or the other. I mean, you can be almost too relaxed and then it's like, do the players have your respect in that regard because you're almost too relaxed all the time.
Sure. No, I totally get that and I agree with you. However, we don't get to see them when it counts. And that's behind the scenes, you know. It's like a marriage. Here we go with my marriage analogy. Bob perks up where, you know, you don't know how the life is behind closed doors. They could be all nice and cuddly out in public, but then behind the closed doors, they hate each other. So, you know, with him, though, you can kind of tell that, you know, they respect him and they, well, year two, we'll see.
Well, that's the thing. It can be the same type of situation in a different way where they lose respect for you for those things. A lot of it depends on winning and winning games, and that solves a lot.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I think it was, I don't know, one of the past coaches, maybe Stoops or maybe even Tomey or whomever, says, well, everything would be, it's bad now, but everything would be different if they were just winning. No, duh. Of course, winning solves a lot of issues. That's one of the reasons why you're fired, or they were fired, because they weren't winning at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take an early break, Bob, because we're going to probably go in and out of this press conference and maybe talk a little. If he says anything interesting for me, we'll discuss.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm talking with Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. I think what we're going to try to do here is go in and out of the press conference from Sumlin today, maybe go 5 minutes and then take a break and then talk about what he just said or try to interpret what he said. It wasn't exciting stuff. Sumlin's not that great of a quote, but we'll listen to it right now and come back. There we go. Are we set? Are we live now, Bob? We're good? So the thing that caught me, this one, I guess, that last question, not so much. Are you surprised? I think Rhett would be number two. Goodell's not going to play that much if
everything goes right.
If everything goes right, right.
No, I think we said it on here a few weeks ago. Where to me, that is expected. I mean, to me, it all depends on the situation, what happens, what time of the season they're in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are going to go into what happens if Khalil isn't available for whatever reason.
Right.
If it's a short-term thing, a one-series type of deal, a half, I think you're going to see Rhett Rodriguez because the staff knows, hey, he's done it before. He went to UCLA and almost beat them. He has enough in the tank to kind of, you know, get them through a game, get them through a couple series.
Right.
If it's going to be a prolonged thing where you're looking at, you know, half a season or, you know, most of the season, I think you're going to see Grant Gunnell because they know that's the future anyways. And it's if you know, it's three games into the season and Khalil goes down again or whatever happens and you go, what, you lost him for the season? I think I think you're going to go to the freshman and you're going to burn that red shirt, which is unfortunate, but he's the future anyways. So you're going to get him some experience. Right. I think the thing that's going to allow him, and as, like we talked about before, is the four games. He can play four games and not burn his red shirt.
Right.
So if it's one of those things where, you know, if Khalil whatever runs into a situation where, you know, he has to sit for a few weeks, then I think you're going to see Grant Gunnell and everyone's going to know, hey, it's him for the next 3 weeks and he doesn't burn his red shirt. He gets the experience and we'll see what happens.
Right, right. And you might even see him like the NAU game.
Yeah.
Maybe another game or two if they have the blowouts. There's no question about that. So that was a good question. I thought you told me about that. You know, the one thing that when you and I are watching practice last year, the one thing that I noticed big and you agreed, the size.
Yeah.
It was very apparent last year. Now it's even more?
Yeah. Well, I think especially at like the wide receiver spots where they look more like wide receivers. It's not just Sean Poindexter and then a lot of other guys that are kind of, you know, being out there just because they have to and they need bodies. But he mentioned Drew Dixon is making kind of a jump. He's now at the top of the depth chart, opposite of Cedric Peterson. So he's going to be a starting wideout. There is an or between him and the freshman, Booby Curry. But as of now, Drew Dixon is going to be the starter. And he's someone that I think might surprise a lot of people that he's up there, that he's, you know, he made that kind of stride. But he put in a lot of work and he's got that size. But I think across the board, I think the thing you look at is, I mean, we could probably go through the depth chart right now and there's not a lot of guys that are, you know, There's not a lot of under 6 foot guys.
There's a dumb question because you've been here 8 years now and you've followed Stoops, right? Mm-hmm. Stoops at the end.
End
of Stoops. And the Olive Richrod, obviously, and now 2 years of this guy. Is this the best looking team? I'm talking looking. I'm talking about playing. But you can say that this is a football team. You know, when you go, you see Alabama, you say, wow, that's a football team. This is Arizona, so you expect smaller.
I still think there's something to be desired. I still think that they're going to look a little bit smaller than, you know, some of the teams they face, but I don't think it's going to be as drastic as...
Right.
I mean, there was moments last year when, in the last couple years, when you go out on the field for pregame, and I would go kind of watch warm-ups and take some photos and do some stuff like that, and I would go to both sides of the field, and you'd come from Arizona side and go to whoever they're playing, let's say a USC, uh-huh. and you just go, wow, this is... different.
Right.
This is just different. I mean, this looks like a football team where Arizona just looked small. And I think that was one of the first things that Kevin Sumlin said was, we just have to get bigger. And I think they've really both, you know, with strength and just physically, you know, adding some bulk, but also, you know, finding guys that are taller and look the part.
Also knowing that has nothing to do with football. It does, but it doesn't. You know, if you're good, you can play at any size. But yeah, that's the one thing that we saw last year that I noticed was bigger, stronger.
Yeah, I think once they get, you know, a few recruiting classes in here, you're going to see that really start to pick up, especially in the, I think where they want to see it the most is with the offensive line. I think they really want guys that look like they're ready to go to the NFL in terms mm-hmm. of the size, where you go, okay, that's what, you know, a college offensive lineman looks like. And I think you had that a lot with, you know, the end of the Stoops era. I think some of those guys that carried over, they had some success with a lot of those offensive linemen in the early years at Richrod, with a lot of the Stoops guys, and they all looked the part, I thought, up front, and I think that's where they're trying to get back to now.
That said, he talked about the offensive line and the defensive line. Which one's better right now?
The defensive line is more settled. Mm-hmm. There's some unproven guys. There's some JUCO guys that we don't know that are going to be starting, which is pretty crazy considering, you know, someone like Trevon Mason got here a few weeks ago. I mean, ended up on campus really late. He had some academic things and had mm-hmm. to get cleared, and he didn't get finally cleared until like 3 days before camp. So I mean, he's put in a lot of work over the last few weeks, and now he's starting. So, but we don't know what that means. I mean, is it just because of necessity? And he's the guy who's, I think them listed at 6'5" or something like that, 6'6". Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is it just because of the necessity? Hey, we want to be bigger, so we're going to throw this guy out there because he is 6'6". But we'll see what happens. But I think right now the defensive line, it probably has the advantage there just because it's a little bit more settled. There isn't necessarily the battle still going on, where I think the offensive line, at least at the two open spots, still kind of have at least a little bit of competition going on.
Okay, so we talked about the defensive line, offensive line, running backs, which is the key thing. We haven't talked quarterback, but I think that's very obvious. We kind of talk about it a lot, where he must do really well for this team to succeed. Yes?
Yeah, I think they, as good as the running back group is, even if they're, you know, again, we saw what happened last year. They led the conference in rushing, and what did it really mean?
I mean, you need
Khalil Tate to play well, and a lot of things have to go right for this team to really turn it around, but I think a lot is going to have, especially this season, is going to have to depend on what happens at the quarterback spot and with Khalil Tate.
Okay, so we what would be the over-under on Khalil Tate's running yards first game? Legitimate. What would you put it? Okay, just to be fair, 150?
I was going
to
go 100, but yeah, 150.
150. If he has 155, do they win the game?
I think so.
Okay. If he has 75, he has 99, do they win the game?
Probably. I mean, look at what he did last season, and they won some games, so.
Yeah. I'll ask that question every game, because 99 yards or 155 against Hawaii is one thing.
Yeah.
Not against USC, it's a different thing.
Right. I think if he's hitting 100 every game, they're going to be fine.
He didn't do that at all last year, right?
He ran for less than 300 yards the entire season.
He was, I mean, and
he ran for less the entire season than he did against Colorado in one game.
He had to put things in perspective,
By a good amount.
Right. So how many did he have in the month of October?
I'd have to go back.
Does that make sense? Because he had maybe 75% of it in October?
I mean, most of it was in that four-game stretch.
Right. And then you didn't see him again as well, obviously. Do you think it was because, now I don't want to revisit history, but because they schemed him better, or because...
I think it was a lot of things. I think that played into it some. I think part of it was him making a decision, hey, I want to prove that I can be an all-around quarterback, like we mm-hmm. mentioned before, mm-hmm. And saying I'm going to be more dedicated to the pass, because everyone, I think for someone like that, he kind of gets in the mindset of, I know I have that in my back pocket if I ever need it. But you get in the mindset of, I want to do this other thing so much that you just, you forget about it. And I think there was moments where he just said, I don't really. Or there's also protecting your body and saying, why am I going to sacrifice myself when these coaches aren't expecting me to do that every play? They know I can do that. People know I can do that. Let me try and work on this passing thing, stay healthy. And it all kind of just, you know, went down the drain last year.
Yeah, no, I get it. Everything that he would say would be on the money. We're kind of evaluating the situation, and anything that he would say, you'd understand. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But we'll just see. We'll just see, because I know that he wants to prove he can throw the ball.
Yeah. I think they can find some middle ground. If he can find a middle ground between whatever that craziness that we saw in October of 2017 and whatever we saw last year, if he can find a middle ground where he's, you know, more balanced himself, I think it's going to be good things for him and set him up for his best chance if he has a shot to, you know, make it in the NFL. And then it'll set up the team to win games.
Right. No, he's the key. There's no question about that. Let's listen to the next segment there, Bob, and then come back again. Well, there you have it. I didn't expect that question. I mean, that's obvious with DeMarco Murray, because he's good and he's got a reputation and he's a good one. What were the questions before? I didn't really get appealed by those questions, but it was what it was. I get it. You know, we're to blame, too, for him being kind of boring. His questions are kind of, and I would ask the same thing. Oh, the first game and all that. It is. I think that's kind of a little advantage. Don't you think that they play now, then they sit for a week, then play again? It's kind of like they were here early, a week early compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
So advantage or whatever, I don't know.
I think the bye week before they play UCLA is going to benefit them more, because they'll have a chance to kind of reevaluate everything before you begin conference play, where, you know, you can maybe see what went wrong, what went right, kind of reevaluate, and you're settling in for a Pac-12 season that's going to have some different challenges. You have you know, some different teams on the schedule this year, and UCLA is kind of one of those teams that's starting to come on the rise a little bit, so it'll be a good test.
So let's go. They play this weekend, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Take a week off.
Yep.
Play NAU here.
Yep.
Take and then play Texas Tech here.
Yep.
That's like the 14th-ish, I think.
Yeah.
The 14th. And then they take a bye.
Yep.
And then they play UCLA.
Correct.
Over there? Here.
Here.
Here, yeah. So, okay. So this is the easy part of the schedule. Once they hit UCLA, after UCLA, that's when they
go. Yeah, well, and then you're going to Colorado, which, you know, new coach.
Could win.
Whatever. But then you got, you know, Washington at home, and then USC on the road, Stanford on the road.
It's a gauntlet. A gauntlet.
That's the difficult part of the schedule.
Right, right. If you survive that, even physically, you have a chance to maybe win.
And that's where I think they would probably, if they had their way, they'd have, you know, another bye later in the year, which they do, which is crazy.
At what point? Before what?
It's in early November, so after they play Oregon State, before they play Oregon.
Oh, okay, and then they play
Oregon, Utah, ASU.
Yeah.
To finish the season.
So, I guess they get some reprieve.
They get as much rest as, you know, you possibly can, that's going to, you know, benefit you in the right areas.
Right.
I think they probably wish they had maybe another one later in the year, maybe before that ASU game or something like that, where, you know, they have save one of these ones that they probably aren't going to, like, for, in reality, you probably aren't going to need this bye week after Hawaii for any real reason. And they could have played a game, but they chose to take the bye week instead. Yeah. But again, I think it's a lot of opportunities to just kind of reevaluate things and kind of reset some things if something goes wrong.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. Bob, let's take a quick break here and come back on the other side, maybe listen a little bit more to something on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and in studio I have Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. We're kind of just dissecting the press conference today. Let's do this. We'll take about 4 more minutes and then talk the rest of the way for the first hour. There we go. Hawaii next. I don't know why there's so many questions about DeMarco Murray. I mean, I get it.
People got to write their story, Steve.
I get it. Oh, I used to be one of those guys. I get it. But it's, you know, kind of like just a sidebar to a sidebar down the road. I don't know. Well, let's take a quick break. Are we taking a quick break? Are we done? We're done? We're just talk time now? Okay. You're going to stay with me for the second hour, right?
I'll think about it.
run, Forrest. So we'll get to the end of the hour here, talk to Ari at 6:05 for about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and then come back and dissect, I guess, the next 5-6 minutes. But there wasn't much there to talk about outside of Hawaii, really.
Which is interesting, because I still think people like the general Arizona fan is probably underestimating Hawaii a little bit.
I agree with you. Is the spread still 11?
I haven't looked in a while, but I'm sure it's still up there. But yeah, they have, you know, one of the best quarterbacks. Well, one of the better quarterbacks in the country last year. He, you know, threw for a lot of yards. They have an offense that I think could sneak up and bite Arizona if they're not ready for it. And it's, I've been saying it's one of those games where it's a sneaky, kind of challenging game for Arizona. You're making the trip, which is already kind of difficult. I don't think that's what'll get them. I think it'll just be that Hawaii, you know, is a little bit more than they anticipated. And, you know, they have a really good offense. Their defense isn't, you know, anything great, but their offense is high powered and they can, you know, put up a lot of yards. And that's going to test Arizona, I think.
Oh, there's no question. Then, if that's the case, I should see what the over under is. But I would think that Arizona would survive it and then come back and kind of rejuvenate themselves. If it's 11, I'll check what it is now.
If it's a blowout and Arizona really, you know, runs through them, I think it's a very good sign for what's to come for Arizona. That's why this game is kind of meaningful in that way. I mean, it's just Hawaii, and yes, you're just kind of just opening up the season, but I think it could mean a lot for Arizona, and it'll tell us a lot if they're able to, you know, run through Hawaii.
Yeah. And that's going to be the number one weapon, whether they can run or not. What about we didn't talk about the wide receiver spot. So they're bigger.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better because they have...
I think better. I think it's just unproven. It's like a lot of the other positions that were open. It's just very unproven. You don't know what Drew Dixon's going to do when he's a full-time starter, and you don't know what someone like Booby Curry is going to do because he's a freshman and he hasn't, you know, you haven't seen him play in a game yet. And you know what Cedric Peterson's going to bring to the table, and he's apparently only, you know, improved things from what the coaches have told us, you know, behind closed doors when they have their scrimmages and things like that. So... you would assume he's going to be better, but yeah, it's just it's a lot of unknown with that receiver group for sure.
Yeah, so if that's unknown, we've talked about the running backs, the other wide receivers, offensive line, defensive line. Now we'll go to the defense on the other side. So defense backs.
Some interesting moves on their depth chart today. They put a true freshman, Christian Roland Wallace, who we were expecting to see there because he was, you know, he looked great in the spring. He didn't get to play in the spring game. He got hurt just before the spring game, so he wasn't able to play, but he was one of those guys that was one of the highly anticipated guys you wanted to see because he came into camp looking very different from most freshmen that you see, especially most freshmen that you're seeing who graduated early and came at the mid-year point. So he came a semester before other high school players. So he's someone who got one of the backup jobs. He's on the two deep depth chart behind, check who it is, but he's got one of those spots. And he's behind Jace Whitaker. And then Samari Springs is a walk-on because he knew it couldn't be Arizona unless they have a walk-on on the 2D because right, that's just kind of how they do things. And then, you know, Samari Springs is going to end up, you know, being really good. They tend to find those guys. Josh McCauley's, you know, made himself, you know, a solid starter at center after being a walk-on. There's been a lot of guys. But Samari Springs was someone who was at Richmond, came in. He's the son of Sean Springs, who played in the NFL for a long time. His grandfather played in the NFL as well. Someone who kind of impressed the coaching staff. He's a little bit older. He's a junior. They're able to get him in here, and now he's going to be one of the other backup cornerbacks, which will be interesting to see once he gets into games at this level, and especially once they get into conference play, kind of what he can do. But I think their cornerbacks are kind of night and day from where everything was last year. There was, you know, in the UCLA game, they played two true freshmen at the cornerback spots, and they're definitely in a different spot now in terms of depth and with the available guys there.
Yeah, no question. Should be fun to watch. I think it should be entertaining. Maybe the something like 40-30 ish. If you're saying high powered,
yeah.
The big question would be the defense, whether it shows up. They'll probably be better than what we think. Offense was going to score. They always do. They score, but then they have to hold. I don't know. This is they're going to win 6-7 games. We talked about it. Nothing's changed in your mind. That means they're not going to win 7 games.
Yeah, I still think it's a 6-6 team right now. I think that back half of the schedule.
Yeah.
And I still think this team is young enough. When you look at the depth chart, there's a lot of freshmen, a lot of redshirt freshmen on there. I still think it's young enough that a tough stretch will get them down and it could kind of snowball from there. When they kind of hit the wall, and maybe the one thing that they want to have is kind of rack up some wins early on because it'll give them some confidence, give them some momentum, but there's going to be a point when they go through that tough stretch when, you know, they're going on the road and playing teams like USC and then they're playing Washington and playing Stanford on the road. There's going to be some losses in there. There's going to be some losses in there. And I would think that, you know, this team still has that youth on its side where, or against it, I guess, that where it might, you know, start to doubt itself a little bit more.
Right. Especially the time of year. Hey, let's take a break here for the first hour. Thanks for listening for this first hour. Talk a lot about UA football and coming up game, upcoming game in 5 days or now. So we'll come back on the other side, talk to Ari Alexander, and then come back and talk about football, UA football, here on 1030 The Voice.